Amen. We're going to be just covering two verses this morning. You know, Paul, the apostle, writing one of the greatest epistles in the Bible, Philippians, is called the Epistle of Joy. He's behind bars, and he has the joy of the Lord no matter what he is facing. He's there, but he's actually, even though he's in chains, he is advancing the gospel, amen, all the way into the house of Nero, even unto the palace guard. And the palace guard, loved one, by the way, remember, was about 9,000 soldiers. Think about that. And so Paul, man, he says, listen, don't you worry about me. I'm moving forward with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? This morning, as we look at chapter 3, especially in verse 10, you know, Christ is our goal. Amen? He's our goal. We want to not only be like him, we want to be with him. So this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, do you know Jesus? Now you say, well, of course I know Jesus, I'm born again. But that's not what I mean. So this morning, as we look into our text, you know, we want to remember that we left off with the seven incredible advantages that Paul had according to the flesh, and that he counted them in Philippians 3, 7 and following. He counted all of them as rubbish, as dung, something to be thrown out and discarded, that he might gain or win Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is, of course, from the law, but the righteousness that is found through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, that perfect standing that you have when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you are forever justified in the eyes of God. So we left off last time to be found in him. To be found in him is also to be known as in him. Amen? But now this morning, our great text. And I tell you, it's been a long time since I struggled with something that I know so well, and yet I don't know it so well. Do you understand? The older that you get in the Lord, do you know the less that you finally say, I don't really understand anything. Did you know that? I mean, yes, you know the doctrine and so forth, but we want to go beyond doctrine, always apply doctrine and live in the doctrine of the Word of God, but we want to go beyond that. So when I say there, like Paul, look what he says in this great epistle in verse 10. He says that I may what? Know him. Now, why would Paul say that? Was Paul filled with the Holy Spirit? Had Paul died and there in what, Acts chapter 14, the stoning, and when they stoned him and then he was raised up? Listen, did Paul, who had gone into the heavenlies, into heaven itself, and he says, I need to know the Lord. Paul, don't you know the Lord? He appeared to you on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter, I don't know what it was, at 18, whenever Paul there with Corinth, and he was so beat up, and he was so just exhausted, and he was discouraged. And the Lord Jesus appeared unto Paul, said, oh, Paul, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you here in Corinth. Nobody's going to beat you up, Paul. He said, no, I have many people in the city, meaning many that have not been saved yet. Would you call that an experience? Yes, you would. And Paul remained there in safety for, what, 18 months in the city of Corinth, preaching the gospel. And so Paul says to us, that I may know him. What in the world is Paul saying? Listen carefully. If you go back to the word yada in Hebrew, remember, it says, and that Adam, yada, or Adam knew his wife, okay? The word yada speaks of it, I mean, as intimate and a close relationship as one can have, okay? So the word yada in Hebrew is translated in the Greek as ginosko. That means to know by experience. What a great word, amen? Do you know Jesus by experience? You know, listen, it's hard when somebody has an experience with Jesus Christ, it's hard to say, no, that didn't happen. Amen. When a person's body is healed, you know, and you say, no, God didn't really heal you, you say, you better get out the door, boy, because God did heal me. So Paul says right here, my only goal in this life that I have, and Paul is at the end of his life, and he says, I need to know the Lord. He's going, my only goal is knowing just one person intimately, in communion, to walk with him, to see him, to feel him, to know him. You know, our problem is today, we say, I need to know who I am. I don't want to know who I am because I am a messed up person. Do you understand? Knowing who I am is not going to help Bill. Did you know that? But knowing who he is going to help me greatly. People say, I need love, you know, and all these things and peace. But, okay, to know him is to have all those things. Does that make sense? So it's not about finding me, my inner child, my feminine side. Where does that, who invented that? No, it's about to know the Lord. So Paul says to us and for us as well, he says, I want to know him intimately. I want to experience him who made the stars. I want to experience him who created the world and upholds all things by his power. He says, oh, listen, I want to know him who saved me on the Damascus Road and who died for me and rose for me, ascended for me, and one day is coming for me. Amen? And that's what we should be as well. Now, listen to me now. Remember that to know Jesus is not knowing about Jesus. Okay? It's to know him. Ginosko, experience him. Now listen, does Jesus our Lord, does he want us to experience him? If so, does the Bible prove that? Let me give you the scripture. Remember Jesus and his high priestly prayer in John 17 before he goes to the cross. Listen to what he prayed. And my prayer would be, has this been answered in your life? Jesus prayed in John 17, 3. He says, oh, Father, this is eternal life, that they, the disciples, me, you, everyone that comes to Christ, that they may gnosko, or that they may know you. In other words, that intimate relationship, that they may know you, the only true God. If you want to know if there are any other gods, Jesus, from his own lips, there's only one. The only true God is our Father which art in heaven. Amen? He says, the only true God, and here it comes, and to know, gnosko, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. In 1 John 5:20, does the Lord want us to know and experience him? Listen to it. It says in 1 John 5:20, and we know, there's that word again, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, or he's opened up our hearts, that we may gnosko, there's that word again, that we may experience, know by experience, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus said again, does Jesus want us to experience him? Listen carefully, John 10, 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know, there's that word again, I know by experience, I gnosko, I know my sheep. I know my sheep intimately. I'm a deep relationship with them because I am in them. Amen? He says, I know my sheep, and listen carefully, and I am known, that same word, gnosko, I am known by experience, if you will, by my own. That intimate knowledge, that deep intimacy. See, here's the deal. I know that all of us here this morning, we all believe in Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Amen. Do you have that experience with him, an ongoing living experience? You see, listen, we can know all about a person. We can know all about Jesus, but not really know, experience him. Does that make sense? So when we ask these questions like that, or when I ask these questions, see, knowing Jesus is more than reading the scriptures about him. Amen? That is vital, though. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's more than hearing a sermon about Jesus, isn't it? So it's not like, well, this is Jesus 101. This is more than knowing Jesus doctrinally, which all of us should do. He is the Son of the living God. He's the Savior of the world. Amen? He's the Lamb of God that takes away all the sin of the world. Now, but with all that being said, this is not about a bunch of facts. It's about an ongoing, growing, intimate, and personal communion with our Lord. You know, listen, can I tell you something? We have a great advantage. You know, for example, if we went back to the say when we were just 5 years old until the present, have we changed? Have we changed in our thinking? In other words, we're not the same person, are we? But see, when we want to have an experience with our Lord, We have a great advantage. Jesus never, never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you have an experience today with the Lord, you know what? He's not going to change next week. In other words, when you sense the love of God that comes upon you, you know in prayer or worship that Jesus loves you, the Holy Spirit is moving. Loved one, listen to me. That is an experience, amen? And you know those things and you experience him. And you know what? Next week, his love doesn't change. You know, unfortunately, there's so much conditional love in the church today that we forgot what unconditional love is, you know? No, listen, man, to know him like that, what a great advantage. So the question is, do you want to know Jesus? In other words, not about him, but do you want to know him through experience? And I'm not talking about experiential Christianity, okay? Where it's all experience and no doctrine. No, the Bible is a balance, loved one. Listen, it says in Jeremiah 9:23, listen to what God says. Thus saith the Lord. He says, let not the wise man boast or glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might or his power. Don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Now, listen carefully. But let him who boasts, let them glory in this one thing, that he understands and yada, there's that word in Hebrew, the same as gnosko in the Greek, that he may yada know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness on the earth. For these, God says, I delight in, saith the Lord. God delights in those who desire deep fellowship, deep intimacy with him, that yada. That's the deepest intimacy that you can have, remember? Adam knew Eve. That's talking about of a sexual experience, loved one. He knew his wife. That is a deep personal experience. So God says, you want to measure your life? You really want to have true success in your life? Well, here it is. You measure it by how much you know or have an intimate relationship with me. Now listen to me. To know Jesus by experience, we all have to believe that he is with us. Amen? Is Jesus with us? Yes. We're his body. He's the head of the church. He's here. We're two or more gathered in his name. Here he is in the midst. Amen? Yeah. But listen, we have to believe that as a fact in our hearts and in our minds. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28:20? He says, and lo, I am with you always. Look up that word always. Mario, you know what that word always means? Always. He's a scholar. He's got it down. Amen. No, it means always. It means forever. He says, lo, even unto the end of the age. And then Jesus says, amen. That means so be it forever, or most assuredly. It is certain. It is fact. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. He's with us right now. But you have to believe that. And not only that, if you want to experience the Lord, now listen, then we have to draw nigh unto God. And if we do that, what does he do? He draws nigh close right into us. Not only that, we have to present ourselves in Romans 12, what 1 and 2, we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him. Then you really experience. That means when you say, Lord, there's the altar, and guess what? Here's Bill, and I'm putting myself on it, and it's not about me anymore. I am saying, Lord, take me, use me. I want to live for you. I want to be yours, and I want you to be mine. Jesus is someone that we learn. It's like you know, the Bible talks about husbands and wives, for example, in 1 Peter 3:7 says, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives with what? Understanding. Okay, to dwell means to live in the same house. Understanding means to understand the wife. The husband understands the wife's emotional makeup. What makes her tick? Well, you know what? When you first get married, you don't know what makes her tick. You thought you did. Then you get married and you really find out what makes her tick. Does that make sense? Okay, but you learn it, believe me. You know, you start reading her. You know, you come home and you're almost fearful. Man, I'm teasing, of course. I don't want to let you in too much on my personal life, but in Ephesians 4:20, Paul writes and he says this. He says, you have not so learned Christ. He's talking about the contrast of the world and the Christian. You have not so learned Christ. It's amazing that Paul didn't say, you have not so learned a doctrine about Christ. He said, no, you're learning a person. See, a person, you know, you may know what Christ taught. You may know about his birth, where he was born, his death, his resurrection, all the things that he said, and so forth. But that's not really learning Christ, because we're learning a person, amen? And here's the deal. You can learn about people today, people that are dead, for example. You know, you can learn, you know, I like President Ronald Reagan, for example, as a president. You can learn all about, you can go back to his early days when he was an actor, remember? Okay, I'm just checking. Maybe you don't go back that far, I don't know. You know, and then I remember what he said. What did he say? Tear down that wall. Remember? Yes, you can study him all out, but you don't know him, do you? You can learn all about him, but you've never experienced him. You don't know him. You know, did you know that President Reagan and I had eye-to-eye contact? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell this side. When Rebecca and I lived in Las Vegas, he was coming in his motorcade down to Wayne Newton's house, which was not too far from our house, except our house was on the poor side of town, and Wayne Newton's wasn't, okay? Do you even know who Wayne Newton is?
Yes.
All right. Donka Shane. No, never. Now, so here in the motorcade, there's a park right on the corner of the street that you turn to go down to Wayne Newton's mansion, and so I'm right there, and I'm waiting for him to go by, and I kind of have my hands like that, you know, and everybody's screaming and yelling, oh, President Reagan, President Reagan, and this is the truth. So he's driving by, and maybe he's 15 feet from me, do you understand? His window is rolled down, and he looks at me, and he looks at everybody else, because they're going crazy, and I'm just like this, and he goes, just like that. I go, ah! You know what I mean? Now, listen, I had a personal experience and eye contact with President Reagan. Do you understand? That still makes me feel good. So, but here's the deal. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. We have an ongoing living relationship, an intimate relationship, if you know him. But you have to know him. So when Paul talks about learning a person, again, it's not like learning a language or whatnot. It's learning Jesus himself. And to learn Jesus, we have to do at least two things. Besides getting into the word, many, many other things that I don't have time to cover. The first thing we have to do, if we're really going to learn a person, we have to take his yoke. And then we have to take his heart. To learn Christ is an ongoing process of sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're constantly being filled with the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus himself, do you know what? He invites all of us. He says, you know what? You want to learn about me? Then I am inviting you to come and do so. Matthew 11:28, listen carefully. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Here it comes, the command. Take my yoke upon you, here it is, and learn from me. Study me. Experience me. Let me lead you. If you're going to yoke up with Jesus like the yoke of an oxen, you remember? Remember what they did? They would take an older oxen, and he was the one who was in the yoke, and he knew what he needed to do, and they'd put a younger oxen with them in the yoke, and then the older oxen would teach the younger oxen. Well, listen, that's what Jesus does to us, but you have to yoke up with him to experience him. And more than that, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, be like me. He says, I'm gentle, I am lowly in heart, you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, learn from me. What? His lowly heart. Look at my heart. Find out why I love and what I do and all of those things. Become a student, if you will, of Jesus. Now listen to me. It is only as you follow Jesus Christ that you experience the heart of Christ, or the gnosko. What did Jesus tell us? He said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, he talks about the cost of discipleship. And remember what he says. He said, only those who lose their life gain their life. Amen? And he says, if you want to come after me, if any man desires to come after me, he says, here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Disown yourself. We don't like that, but you know, that's the best thing that can ever happen to us because we are messed up. Do you understand that? But when we say, it's not about me anymore, it's not my plans, it's not any of those things, I don't want my plans anymore. They always end me up over in the ditch or something. You understand? I want whatever you want. I want my will swallowed up in your will, Lord. I don't want me. I want you. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is only gain. Loved one, listen, we deny ourselves that no more about my life, my plans, my strategies. It's not how I want my marriage, it's how you want your marriage. It's not about how, it's about you, what you want. And whenever you do that, you start going, ooh, I'm experiencing something. Maybe it's correction. You follow me? But you experience it. He says, you take up the command, take up his cross daily, and then those words, follow me, come after me, travel with me. It's only, loved one, it is only, you will never have a true ongoing experience with Jesus Christ, our Lord, unless you go after him and follow him. Some of you might need to ask this morning, how far is Jesus down the road ahead of me? And I'm way back here. And the only other way that we can experience the Lord is by being obedient to the command in chapter 2, verse 5, where it tells us, it says, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another translation says, we are to live and to act and to think like one man. There you go. If you start thinking like him and acting like him, you're going to experience him. Listen to me, loved one. Augustine said this. He said, for most of my life, I was searching for Jesus outwardly. He said, but I couldn't find him. Then I realized that I could find him inwardly. Listen to me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. See, the way that you travel with the Lord is you hear that inner voice, because we are filled, we are endued with power, the Holy Spirit, amen. We're sealed with the Spirit, but we also, the Holy Spirit lives in us and he's alongside of us, amen. Now listen, that inner voice, we hear it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You've heard God's voice at least once in your life because you got saved, amen. So don't tell me you've never heard the voice of the Lord, because you have in here. Now, it says as we walk in this world and the Holy Spirit is in us, the naos of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the whole church, and yes, individual believers. You can't divide up the Holy of Holies, amen? It's impossible. The Holy Spirit is the same all the time. He lives in us, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he speaks to us. And then you learn his presence. You learn his voice. You experience the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, I'll not leave you orphans. I'll send you another of the same kind in the Greek, meaning another just like me. Now, with all that being said, you know, loved one, listen, the greatest test of truly experiencing Jesus is what John the Apostle of Love wrote in 1 John 4:7, and he said this. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone, listen carefully, everyone who is born of God, in other words, the new birth, here it goes, knows God. What does that word mean? Gnosko. Knows by experience your Father in heaven. Now listen carefully. And he who does not love, that's the agape of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. He says, he who does not love does not gnosko, does not know God. Think about that. You don't know God if you're not loving like you should. He says, for God is love. So to know Jesus is to experience him if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. And he wants that. Now listen carefully. Look at verse 10 again. He says, that I may know Jesus, but I may experience him in intimacy, this ongoing relationship, and something else. And the power of his resurrection. Now listen carefully. Look at the words again there in your text. And it says the power of. That you need to circle that or something. It doesn't say the power in Jesus' resurrection, does it? No, important. It says the power of, not the one-time event when Jesus died upon the cross and was raised from the dead. That's not what Paul is talking about, that ongoing resurrection power that dwells in the life of the believer. In other words, he is saying, I want to experience every day in my life the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Remember in Ephesians 1:19, it says this, Paul, it was a prayer he was praying. He says, Lord, that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. Paul just said, all the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is directed toward every believer. Think about that. God's power is directed towards you. And here I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, the supernatural power of God that raised him from the dead, the supernatural power of God that seated him at the right hand of God, the one who has all the power, all authority, that's the same power that's working in us. Yes, and guess what? That same power has done something for us positionally. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated together in Christ in heavenly places. Amen? And in God's eyes, you're right there, right this minute, even though we're here. Does that make sense? That's our position, our spiritual position in Christ Jesus. So all of this power, the Bible says in Romans 8:11, it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, he says, well, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies here and now. That ongoing power to live for the Lord, to experience the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about. You remember in Romans 6, when Paul was talking about, you know, that we died with Christ and so forth. And then in Romans 6:3, and he says this, he says, do you not know that as many of us were immersed or baptized into Christ Jesus? In other words, not water baptism. This is being placed in the body of Christ. Amen? Immersed into the body of Christ. So as many of you who were baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ in union with him were immersed or baptized into his death. So his death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His ascension is our ascension. Amen? Because we are in union with him. Again, Paul's using that as an analogy. He's not talking about water baptism in this verse. If you studied out, and I taught this years ago, but if you study out, there's two words, bapto, baptizo, okay? Bapto means to dip. Baptizo means to immerse. Bapto means to, you dip it in and you take something out. For example, you take a cucumber, okay? And you want to bapto the cucumber, and you do that in boiling water, right? Okay. You take that cucumber, and you bapto it, boiling water, and you pull it right back out. Nothing happened. But then when you baptizo that cucumber, and you put it in vinegar, and it's all, and all the, what happens to it? It turns into a, there you go. Why did you say that? Because, let me read the Greek. Greek word. The Greek word baptizo means you have been placed into a new environment. In other words, you weren't baptized. You know, okay, a little water and pulled you right back out. Oh, it was boiling. It was hot, but nothing happened. No, he says, it means you've been placed into a new environment, into a new union with someone else so as to alter its condition or its relationship from its previous environment or condition. In other words, whenever you take that cucumber and you put it in that other solution, and you know what? It is changed permanently. You are a pickle forever, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, you have been permanently changed. In other words, you were bapto, there's Adam, didn't work, but when you were immersed, baptizo, your environment, your life, everything was permanently changed because you were born again and placed in the body of Christ. And that can never be altered. It can never be changed if you are born again. Man, now that, loved one, that is a true experience that you have in Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized, meaning placed in the body of Christ. It says, you have put on Christ. Praise the Lord for that. We've been buried with him, united, and so forth. So, now listen. So to experience the power of his resurrection, Paul knew something had to happen. He knew that we had to participate in the fellowship of his sufferings, and we had to be conformed to his death. Does that make sense? Now, in other words, the proportion that we do those things, it will be the proportion that we start experiencing our Lord. Look what it says in 3:10 again. It says, and the fellowship, or literally the partnership, the joint partnership of his sufferings, to experience that. Now, people go, I don't want anything to do with this one, Bill. No, listen to me. Believers, you are going to be hated. You are going to be mocked. Amen? You can never go to the cross and do what Jesus did. That's not what Paul is talking about. But when we go through this life, there's going to be trials. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be people that don't like you. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's getting worse and worse and worse every day in our nation against the believer. Peter, he writes in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. In other words, all Christians, we go through it, okay? He says, but rejoice to the extent that you, here it comes, that you share in, that you partake, that you experience the sufferings of Christ. That when his glory is revealed, you may be glad in exceeding joy. If you are reproached, insulted, reviled for the name of Jesus, you know, because you bear the name Christian or whatever, because you act like your Lord, he says, blessed are you. Oh, how happy you should be. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part, yeah, Jesus is blasphemed, but on your part, Jesus is glorified. We're not rejoicing in the fiery trial, but we're rejoicing that other people, you know what? They are treating us like they would have treated Jesus. Does that make sense? We're partakers of that, loved one. And you know what? We are not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And citizens of this world, they don't like citizens of heaven. Because, see, we're born again and they're natural man. They can't help it. They're against it. Now, with all that being said, Paul writes again in Philippians 1:29. He says, for to you, or because to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ. Granted, it's a free gift, okay? It says, not only to believe in him, and we do believe in him. We're saved by faith through grace, amen? He says, we believe in him, but also to what? To suffer for your sake? No, his sake. The word suffer there in the Greek has absolutely nothing to do with, you know, I got myself in trouble or I'm sick in my body, or I did a foolish thing. No. This has only to do with being persecuted for Jesus. In other words, for his name's sake. Listen, we are not immune from trouble in this world. And again, the word suffer there that I just read to you is used primarily in Scripture for being persecuted for his name's sake. Not you, but for him, for Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So his fellowship of his sufferings, when people criticize you, make fun of you, mock you, call you a Bible thumper or Jesus freak or whatever they call us today, I don't even know, and I don't even care. I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me against that day. Amen. Yes, and look at the next one. Being, now that's a very important word. Being means it is a process, okay? Being conformed to his death. Now, so the word conform there means that spiritual process of molding the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ. That's what this is speaking of here. So we're being conformed inwardly right now, amen? The Bible tells us that God, in what, Romans 8:29, that God has predestined you, the word means to arrive at a certain destination, predestined you to be conformed to the image of his very own Son. Think about that. Man, God has chosen you and predestined you to arrive at a certain destination in your life. And that's that God who is working in us right now to be conformed, to be like Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's inward. Now listen, do you know that while we're being conformed, that that is an adventure, isn't it? Yes, it's an ongoing adventure. It's an ongoing process. But listen carefully. It's not only a series of dying to self. Boy, and I have found that. I need to die so much more to me. It's a series of dying to self, but it's a series, as you die to self, of being resurrected. Does that make sense? You know, George Mueller, you ought to read about it, the great evangelist there in England and Bristol, wherever it was, great man of God. You know, he took care in his lifetime over 10,000 orphans. Great man of God. And so someone came to him and they said, George, tell me why you have had such successful service following the Lord. He says, what is it? What's the secret? In his own words, let me read. George says this, George Mueller says, you know what? There was a day when I died. That's a good word. There's a day when all of us have to say, I remember the day that Bill died to self, died. He says, there was a day when I died, utterly died, died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his taste, his will. And I died to the world. I died to the approval of the world or censure. I died to the approval or the blame even of my own brethren and my friends. And since then I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. Listen to me. If you really want to experience Jesus and walk with him and know him in a greater way, love one, here's what you have to do. You have to fall in love with the cross. Do you understand? You have to fall in love with the cross and realize that is truly where we died. If you fall in love with the cross, you will experience the cross. Do you understand? And that's what it's all about. So verse 9 in our text that I didn't cover, verse 9, remember, is not having our own righteousness, but his. So verse 9 is justification, being justified by God, just as I have never sinned. That's the new birth. Verse 10 is sanctification, that ongoing process of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer to conforming into the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verse 11 that we're getting ready to cover, now we go to glorification, is when we depart this world into another. Look at it. Paul says in verse 11, if, and it's very important that he's not expressing any doubt when he uses that word if, but he's actually viewing something as an expectation, okay? He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, is that an experience? That is our future experience, amen? Oh, what a day that's going to be. So when Paul says that I may attain, it literally means that I may arrive or reach the end of a journey, that I may finally reach my goal. But listen carefully. The resurrection here, that word, resurrection from the dead, let me read it to you literally, okay? Literally, it reads this way. The out-resurrection from the corpses. The corpses meaning the wicked dead, okay? So this Greek word resurrection is very, very unique to Scripture, and it is only found here in the New Testament, nowhere else. It literally means a partial resurrection from among the corpses, the dead people. So what in the world is Paul expecting, and what is he talking about? He's talking about the catching away of the church, amen? Oh, listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery, we'll not all sleep. In other words, we'll not all die. He says, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. It's not a process, loved one. Boom, it happens. It says, at the last trumpet, man, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise first, incorruptible, and then we shall be changed. Man, listen, that might be us. There is a generation that's not going to have a funeral. Think about that. Instantly. I mean changed in an instant where this mortal body becomes immortal. Think about that. Oh, I look and I say, oh, Lord, what a great day that's going to be. This perishable body puts on the imperishable. Amen. Go look in your, just go to chapter 3. I mean, at the end of chapter 3. Look at verse 20 quickly. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved one, that is the rapture. We are citizens of heaven. Think about that. You know what? Heaven is a place where the prayer is no more, where prayer now turns into praise. Isn't that going to be a listen to me. There's no darkness in heaven. Think about that. We're never going to see darkness again because the Lamb is its light. He says, oh, we're citizens of heaven. And not only that, we are eagerly waiting for Jesus. That word literally in the Greek, I think Phillips' translation goes, we are all, every believer, standing on tiptoe. Man, we are eagerly waiting for him. And look what he's going to do. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed, there's that word again, conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Our lowly body. You know what that means? It's a body that is subject to death. The word literally means it's vile, it's impure, it's a crummy, crummy, repulsive body. It's the flesh, it's the old man, it can sin. No. He says, listen, in verse 10, we're conformed to his death, are being conformed to his death. That is a process, but not here. Loved one, here, all of a sudden, we are conformed instantly to his glorious body. We've been changed inwardly. Now we're going to be changed outwardly forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, loved one, listen. We're going to be conformed instantly to his glorious body. 1 John 3:1, listen. Behold what manner of love. The word what manner means a love that is not from this world. A love that is unique, a love that is only from God the Father. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Oh, and it has not been revealed or fully disclosed or made clear. It has not been fully revealed what we shall be. But we know that when Jesus is revealed, he's coming. When he shows up, it says, we shall be like him. Think about that. We shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. We're not going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we're going to have a brand new body. Do you understand? Man, I'm telling you what, it's going to be glorious. You know, probably, I bet we don't have wrinkles or anything. You know what I mean? It's going to be a glorious time. And here's what's going to happen. For the first time, we're going to really, truly experience real, complete life. What it is, with the total absence of all sin. Oh, and I say, dear God. Oh, it says when Christ, our life, it says in Colossians 3, 4, when he appears, and you'll also appear with him in glory. 1 John 3, 3, it concludes it. And he says, and everyone who has this hope, Jesus is coming. The rapture of the church. When we see him, we're going to be just like he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. How do we do that? Simple. The divine outline of Philippians. Chapter 1, Christ is our life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Chapter 2, Christ our example. Let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 3, right there, verse 10. Jesus, you're my goal. I want to experience you. I want to be like you. Chapter 4, how can we live this life? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's how we do it, loved one. We do it by allowing ourselves to work, Ephesians 4:1, walking worthy of our calling. Equal in doctrine, equal in application, hearing God's word, doing God's word. That's how it's done. No wonder John writes, he says in 1 John 2:28, my last scripture, by the way, and now little children, abide in him, live in him, that when he appears, when Jesus appears, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, and we know that Jesus is righteous, then you know, that's that word, you know, gnosko, then you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Man, listen. Loved one, listen to me. The gifts of the Spirit, that's how we experience the power of God. Do you understand? when you lay hands upon the sick, and sometimes they don't recover, sometimes they do. It's up to God. It's not up to me. But to experience that, love, that's an experience. Jesus was right there. Do you understand? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the upper room, it is an experience. The new birth is an experience. Do you understand? You're changed. You're out of Adam, and you're something. And you're something you've never been in before, Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. Whenever Jesus told the disciples, he said, listen, when he rose from the dead, he was getting ready to ascend. He said, you go into all the world. You preach the gospel to every creature. Let me read it to you from Mark's gospel. He says, oh, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, meaning the new believers. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Here it comes. And these signs, these experiences, these miracles will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink anything deadly, it won't hurt you. And they will lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover. Now listen carefully. That's what we're to be doing. Now here comes the incredible experience. Are you ready? It says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and they preached everywhere. Here it comes. The Lord working with them. Do you see that experience? It says, and confirming the word through accompanying signs. To know him, do you know Jesus? Or you just know about him? I'm telling you, he wants you to experience him, I think, more than most believers want to experience him. Oh, listen, the new creation, loved one, that is the greatest experience that you can have. You know, maybe you don't know Christ. You know, you're sitting here, I don't know, but I just have to ask you, if Jesus is not your Lord, then someone else is. And you know what? Right now, you can join us, the believers. You can join us how? Well, we are the ones that are eagerly waiting for him. It may be today. It may be tonight. It may be the next generation, but that doesn't change one thing. Jesus is coming. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Every Christian praying. Loved one, listen, if you don't know Christ Jesus, if he is not your Lord, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, into your life, you can do so right now. You're not joining a Calvary Chapel. You're becoming a member of the body of Christ. You don't have to even come to this altar. But you have to do something. You've got to lift your hand and say, Bill, Jesus is not my Lord. I want him to be my Lord. Or maybe you're just playing Christian and you're not really, you're just a Jesus namer and not a Jesus follower. If you'll lift your hand and put it right back down, I'll know to pray for you right now. You don't have to come down here again. This is only between you and God. Anyone quickly, lift it high and put it down. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord this morning. I want the one that lifted your hands, listen, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, you're going to help me. If you're listening live right now, you can join in. You can pray this prayer, and you will be saved if you believe it in your heart. So those that lifted your hands, you pray this with me. Church, help me right now. Say, Father, this morning I heard the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus. He is the way. He is the life, and I want life. I want true life, eternal life. I want to experience my Savior. So right this minute, I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Be my Lord. You promised if I would confess Christ and believe in my heart, you would save me. Save me now, for I believe. In Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen.